3, 2, 1. Welcome to the show. My name is Randy, and I will be your host for all the festivities, frivolity, and fun we have on this internet radio show.
Ooh.
But welcome. And whether you listen by laptop, desktop, iPad, iPhone, Android things, or MP3 player. But we're glad you decided to join the show. I wish more people I get the most hits from San Jose, California. Now, it looks like views and my downloading and listening stats don't reflect that there's 80-some people on from San Jose looking at my web page. I don't understand that. But I guess we'll keep trudging on. And I still don't have my second monitor up and running. I guess I'll have to go to the my DSL provider and get that fixed. I just like talking to people and about the show sometimes. Some people where I go to keep my brain functioning semi-normal. They like the show. So, as far as them, I hope you have a good time. We will get started shortly. My next news story on the podcast docket, the first story, deals with a guy who believes in aliens. And let me pop that up. There we go. The professional UFO skeptic who believes in aliens. If he was a skeptic, he must have not believed it at first. But the Close Encounter man tells the unlikely story of how the government physicist debunker became the phenomenon's most expert defender. If you're jonesing for an extraterrestrial, you should check out the Close Encounters Man by Mark O'Connell. O'Connell, a writer for Star Trek Deep Space Nine and founder of the UFO blog High Strangeness, set out to write a UFO book wouldn't need to hide from other people. He found his idea subject in J. Allen Hynek, the astronomer hired by the United States Air Force in 1948 to debunk the reports of strange objects in the sky. Flooding from across the country. Eventually, Hynek broke with his handlers and became the first scientist to lend credence to the UFO phenomenon. I would have to say I'm a skeptic. If one landed on the roof and came down and told me what they're doing here, maybe then I'd believe. The author of 1972's The UFO Experience, a scientist study, he would go on to found the Center for UFO Studies in 1973, present a speech on flying saucers to the United Nations in 1978. Boy, how'd he get that? and develop the Close Encounter scale that would inspire Steven Spielberg's popular Close Encounters of the Third Kind, a huge boon to his work. O'Connell told me they shot a scene where the little aliens grab Hynek's pipe from him and stuck it up his nose, but it was cut down to a 6-second cameo. In telling the life story of Hynek, the Astro beatnik, O'Connell winds up with a stunning panorama of the UFO movement. From fringe conspiracy theorists to amateur astronomers to agnostic scientists, as well as its colossal impact on pop culture and modern science. I recently spoke with O'Connell over the phone about Hynek's unique story of skeptic turned believer, the scientific study of the inexplicable, and what makes a good UFO witness. Well, this story goes on. What happened to Vice magazine asked him what had to happen for a scientist as disciplined as Hynek to reach an epiphany and come around to a belief in flying saucers? Mark O'Connell says it was a gradual process punctuated by traumatic movements. He had been involved in Air Force first UFO study, Project Sign, where he, as a misidentified objects like comets or meteorological phenomenon like strange clouds or normal things like aircraft or weather balloons. At the end, there were about 20% of the cases left unsolved. He just put those aside, thinking with enough time and resources, we could probably explain these away as well. So he filed the report and went back to teach at Ohio State and Wesleyan universities. I think I'll stop there. But some people still believe, but I like they're snatching bodies for experimentation. Nobody seems to be able to prove anything about, grainy pictures of like a V flying across the sky, and it's probably just military tests. And I don't agree with it. I don't think there are alien snatching, but that's the way it goes. I suppose somebody will come up with something to say they're real again, but not lately. With Trump becoming president and all the brouhaha about his dealings with Russia, occupying the news mostly, and there are millions of there's millions of people that listen to Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly to cover the story with Trump. I'm not much of a political talker, and you'll find that out fairly soon. The UFO story should prove that. I like other stories as well. And we'll be right back with some other story. This next story is a little risque, so you might want to be in the room with adults. Send the kids to bed or something. But we will look that up. But I found this on Vice.com. It's a title, Gay Porn Stars Don't Party Like You Think They Do. Yep, I thought they were partying 24 hours a day. Tagging along with one of the hardest working guys in the industry at the Oscars of Porn, disapproved everything I thought I knew about the adult entertainment lifestyle. I think the assumption is that people in my line of work just have sex 24/7. Trenton Ducati told me this past weekend as we sat in the lobby of the Fairmont Chicago Millennium Park, the partner hotel for the Grabbies. If the male gay porn industry had an Oscars, the Grabbies would be it, with categories like Best Three-Way and Hottest Bottom. First held in 1999 at the infamous Man's Country Bathhouse. The awards have since expanded into a ritzy long weekend where the industry converges to toast and roast itself. Ducati was there to mingle, network, and even make a flick or two. In other words, he would spend the next 24 hours proving to me that, if anything, making it in the modern, arguably declining porn industry is far from a party. It requires a grinding work ethic and lots of patience. As an extremely successful performer in his own right, awardee of some of the industry's top honors, and co-owner Ducati Studios, a porn production house, and his own talent agency, Ducati is a paragon of the modern porn scion. If I pronounce that right. A workaholic with lifestyle that's a far cry from what many imagine when they think of a porn star. Sex, sure, there's plenty, but no drugs and very little rock and roll over the course of the Grabbies. He would disapprove much of what I thought I knew about porn stars. Yeah, I thought they worked 24 hours a day. Man, I need a whole bowl full of blue pills for that. You think Hugh Hefner grabs a blue pill once in a while? But that's the end of that. Oh, there is some more story on that. Things kicked off on Friday night with a parting celebrating the 10th anniversary of the Burke, the birth of the Flesh Jack, a popular male sex toy. After rubbing elbows there, we hit a party of gay porn juggernaut Falcon Studios. Rather than turn up there, we slipped out early for a burger. Soon after, Ducati was back in his hotel, sending files from a scene he shot earlier that day to his editor in Los Angeles. He was in bed by 11:30. There are two reasons to which I can attribute Ducati's near Puritan by porn standard lifestyle. The first is the fact that he's just too busy to be a party boy, between producing and directing anywhere from 10 to 12 scenes per month, appearing in a few of his own, managing his own company, and all of the invisible labor that goes into keeping up a porn star's career. Fan outreach, social media posting, coordinating shoots and travel, and side gigs. His life is nothing like Boogie Nights. He produced three scenes over the course of the Grabbies weekend alone. hard partying just isn't conducive to a fully realized professional lifestyle, even in the industry. There's also a fact that Ducati has been sober for 10 years. His backstory goes far in explaining his professional demeanor today. By age 14, he started using drugs, and by 22, he was living on the street. Throughout his 20s, Ducati said he'd been in and out of jail about 20 times. "Mine were all money-related crimes," he explained. Fraud and financial charges by 30. He knew he had to change his life quickly or he'd soon be dead. But lucky he found a good rehab program and took the first steps toward where he is today. He now runs the Kill Meth Foundation with his mother, which raises funds to assist drug addicts in need of emergency services. Oh, boy, this very long story. The reason I took the job for the first time was the pay. Back all my restitution to the court system. He said, explaining what initially attracted him to porn. He was working as a personal trainer when a client, porn star Jimmy Durano, landed him his first audition. That was 6 years ago. "I don't really feel good about myself, the stealing and everything else," he said. "How can I make this right? I'm at least going to pay it all back, and how could I do that making $70 a day as a professional trainer?" With a harsh criminal record, his employment options were limited. "These are these cards you've been dealt, so, right? So I did the best I could with that," he said. I take this opportunity I've been given, and I'm going to do everything within the industry I possibly can." And I think we'll stop there. Guy works hard. Shouldn't make the money. And money. For all the people from San Jose, California, if you're going to view my site, why not throw me a 5 or a 10 spot or whatever you want for me to keep this going, since you visit my site and don't look at much. But I get a lot of hits from San Jose. And drop me some dough. That's just my little editorial comment about San Jose. But that was an interesting story. Doesn't sound like he's a party boy. That was on Vice.com. Hi again. I took a little break from podcrafting to kind of try and solve a little technical problem I'm having. Brought down a computer cable to the local, our only computer store anymore. The other one gave it up. But that's what I was doing. And oh yeah, this HDMI cable will bring it right over and you'll be able to use it and blah blah blah. So I got a useless HDMI cable hooked into both my computer and my larger television / computer. After going round and round with him and a couple phone calls, he did. "Oh, I thought it was a monitor. I didn't know it was a TV." I go, "Well, it's got the plugs for computer." I don't think he's young enough, and I don't know how long he's worked in computers, but he might not have seen a television / computer ready. But it's, they don't have, they have HDMI ports, and USB port, but I don't want it just to show what's on the first screen. That's my thing. Maybe I have to just buy a new tower, set it up separately or something. But that was my frustration. Oh, after he found out it was a TV, we don't mess with that. You'll have to look on some forum to... Yeah, I went through some of the YouTube stuff on it, but it doesn't seem to help. Some of them were kind of useful. It gave me a code that I have never used. And on the Microsoft, hold down the Microsoft key and hit the letter P, and then you bring up some selections, but nothing seems to bring anything to the TV that's connected to HDMI. I haven't had much luck with HDMI over the years. I don't know. I can hook the computer up to my bigger screen, but I didn't really like it because it was a little bit too large for me to scan around with my eyes, but so I left it on the small screen. Yeah, I don't think he realized that I have computer inputs on both my televisions. Even my third one. I went nuts buying TVs once, and I bought... I got two fairly large screens at the ready. One's hooked to cable, and that goes out sometimes. It's just frustrating. But my internet is on a separate line, and I don't know why Mediacom's supposed to come over the cable. I've had my internet through a cable company for the longest time. So if anybody has a solution on how to get the... I went through the drivers, and it says, Windows says, whether you can believe them all the time or not, it says I have the most updated drivers. So I don't know. Nothing seems to bring up the right patch to get that through. But if it's just going to show the same thing, then it's not worth it. But as I wanted the big screen to search for stories, and that's not working. I'll have to bring the TV down there just to show them the adapt. Show them that they have some computer inputs. There isn't really one for a keyboard or a mouse, but that's another technical thing, which I am getting sick of dealing with. I'd rather be doing this. And for as long as I can. But I hope you're having a better day than I am. And a good Memorial Day holiday for those of you who celebrate it. Well, it isn't really a celebration. It is a celebration, but for all the fighting men, in the future and past. And now that I... So there's the train. I'm sure you're going to hear the whistle. I use noise reduction for that. Looks like I will have to this time. So I don't hear that as much. But keep listening. I got some more stories to come up. Say, have any of you heard about the news about the Donald? It's been all over the news about him pulling out of that climate conference in Europe. pissed some people off, but he wants coal to thrive and stuff like that. Boy, you gotta be a yes man for working for him. You disagree, and behind closed doors, I think you're on the chopping block. Wants to fire everybody who's told a lie, and then the leak might be in the White House, or been fired already. But what goes behind closed doors is only for them, I guess. No, you almost have to talk to somebody personally without it getting on the evening news and in the White House office. That's got to be the most stressful job to do. Try to please as many people as possible. But he trudges on. Hopefully he'll get what he's looking for out of it. Making sure the tax rate is lower for lower income people would be a nice thing. Oh, did you know you can also donate money to this program? I got a PayPal deal down there that nobody seems to hit, but you're always encouraged to leave a donation. And we're moving on up to the 27 mark. Hopefully you're having a good day. It's Friday night is all right with me. So it goes. Next up on the podcast docket, I guess Tiger's girlfriend broke up with him. I guess that's old news, but Lindsey Vonn posted an unfortunate Instagram hours after Tiger Woods' arrest. He's blaming it on painkillers or some kind of prescription he's taking. They show her in a nice bikini and living it up in Morocco, in Monte Carlo. And we're just going to chalk this up to unfortunate timing hours after Tiger Woods was arrested Monday morning on DUI charges. His ex-girlfriend, Lindsey Vonn, posted a pic on Instagram of herself clearly living her best life in Monte Carlo. Thank you for my great friends and fun adventures, but keeping my eyes on the horizon, the Olympic skier said to her 1 million followers. Wow, the future is bright. And on Twitter, the 32-year-old Olympian shared a swimsuit selfie with current boyfriend, Los Angeles Rams assistant, wide receiver coach Keenan Smith. Clearly, Vonn's Memorial Day weekend was better than her ex's. Woods was arrested in a town outside West Palm Beach, Florida, on a DUI charge early Monday morning. The 41-year-old golf pro took responsibility for the incident in a statement late Monday, but said it wasn't an unexpected reaction to prescribed medications, not alcohol, that led to his arrest. I didn't realize the mix of medications that affected me so strongly, he said. I would like to apologize with all my heart to my family and friends and the fans. I expect more for myself, too. Ill-timed social media postings aside, there doesn't seem to be any bad blood between Woods and Vaughn, who he dated for 3 years before calling it quits in May 2015. I did not know they weren't together again, or still together. Last fall, Vaughn opened up about the breakup on an episode of Running Wild with Bear Grylls. I loved him so much, and I still do, and it just didn't work, you know, she told Grylls. It was too much with his competition schedule and mine, you know. He has two kids, a son and a daughter, with the ex-wife, Elin Nordegren. We're still on good terms and we're friends, but it was really hard, Vaughn added. So that, yeah, there's some pictures of them in better times when they were dating. I wonder what the, at least she didn't take the golf clubs to them. But that's that story. Hopefully he gets back on. He's had a lot of back surgeries and knee. And man, he swings so hard. But hopefully he'll get it together. Looks like I ran a little long on this one. But after the 30 mark that I usually try to hit. But I'd like to thank all my listeners, whether you listen at home, office or car, laptop, desktop, iPad, iPhone, all the I's, and MP3 player, or what else? You could listen to it many ways. You could also listen to it on iTunes. I guess I don't promote that enough. And you can always make a financial donation to this podcast, which would be greatly appreciated. But thank you to all my faithful listeners who've heard more than one show. But that's going to wrap it up. Time to put this podcast to bed and post it to the interwebs. And thanks for listening. Bye-bye, folks.